All right, what's the word? I mean, I see the time, but I don't hear the tunage. Uh-huh. There we go. I love
it. On cue, kind of.
The tunage.
after
Hello,
asking.
Everyone. Exactly. No, just checking. Sure. I know I'm not in charge here. Welcome back. Welcome back. Hello, everyone. Happy Monday. Welcome to Make Me Smart Daily Edition. I'm Molly Wood. We're going to try to make today make sense. Kai Rizdahl has actually bailed on this effort completely. So thankfully, we're lucky to have Andy Euler filling in.
Hey, Molly. Yeah. Kai's doing it right on a Monday. Come on.
No pressure. Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
I'll be all
right. This is actually perfect because I think we're all back on the same tip with respect to the news fix, at least right now. And Andy, turns out, is our reporter based in Texas. And there is a lot going on there these days. So we're going to do our usual, which is the news, and then heaven help us, make me smile. And let's start with Texas and then make our way back to California, because nobody comes out clean on this one.
No, I was telling everybody, I'm looking out the window here at my house and it's green and we've gotten a lot of rain. And it's actually not as hot as you would expect. It's like in the low 90s, which for us, you know, people are dancing in,
beautiful,
sadly, dancing together. So basically what's happening right now, the reporting that I've been doing anyway has been based on, so the governor here, Greg Abbott, he really wanted to reopen Texas. He was pretty vehement about doing it as quickly as possible in phases. But then all of the things that he was saying when we were reopening were all suggestions. And so it was never, you can't do this, you can't do that. If you're a business, we suggest that you make people wear a mask, or suggest that people, you suggest to people that they wear a mask. And so what's kind of happened right now anyway, because we've seen this spike and we've had record numbers of positive tests of people that were tested for, I think, the past 16 days. We just keep seeing record numbers of people being tested positive here. So what ended up happening was the governor sort of said that he was going to pause reopening the state, and he told bars that they had to close, and he told restaurants they had to sort of ratchet back to 50% of capacity. At the same time, he was saying, we don't want to tell anybody what to do. So there's a lot of things happening here right now in terms of local officials, county and city officials, basically asking the governor what to do.
Right.
Because the governor's
He's overridden local control too, right?
That's exactly right, right? So the governor can, as sort of the state representative, that's going to override any sort of local authority. And so what's happening specifically here in Austin, we've had sort of a requirement among local businesses to wear masks, to have your, you know, if you're at a restaurant, six feet apart when you're talking about a table. But then the state is coming back and saying, well, I don't know that you can necessarily do that if you're a local official. And so now local officials, I think, are trying to make it very, very clear. And they want the governor to say, look, we give you all of that responsibility and all of that sort of authority to tell people what to do, because right now they don't have it. So when you're traveling throughout the state, and this is what I was talking to somebody about earlier, when you're traveling throughout the state, it's completely different, right? If you're in Austin, you have completely different rules from when I visit my parents in Fort Worth. The rules are different. You don't really know what's going on. Businesses don't really know what's going on. And so it's just absolutely confusing. And at the same time, we have record hospitalizations. We have record numbers of people who are getting coronavirus. And so what we need is somebody in charge to figure out a way to streamline what to do.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And nope, I mean, that is a perfect summary of, in some ways, what is, you know, I think we could say predictive of, I don't know, the other 49 states, to be honest. Like, I don't think that we should, because my news fix item today is that California's governor, Gavin Newsom, who, you know, was pretty early on the shutdown train, has been pretty, relatively speaking, clear on mask wearing. as a necessity, is nevertheless in the position of having to talk about potentially closing back down LA County, which is a big one. That's one of the big ones.
Right.
Because, and so, you know, I mean, I guess like it's sort of easy to say in some ways, like, well, Texas and Arizona, they did everything wrong, right? Like they reopened too soon and they did this
too
and
fast,
whatever. But the fact is, like, but probably in the face of like conflicting and confusing federal guidance and and a lack of leadership in general. And then it is just kind of crazy America, and America does what it's going to do. And so in LA, you know, you've had, I think I saw that, I think in the Make Me Smart Slack, somebody, Tony Wagner, posted that 500,000 people went out to bars the weekend that bars reopened in LA County, down from a normal number of 700,000. So like pretty much everybody who could go to the bar went to the bar.
Went to a bar. Yep. Yep.
So and now we're looking at closures again.
Well, when I was talking to, because it was phased in terms of the way the reopening of bars here in Austin. And so I reached out to different bar owners about sort of what they're going to do, because the last thing you want to do is reclose, right? You don't want to open and then have to close your doors again, which is exactly what they're having to do. And so what kind of happened was a rush to revenue from certainly the governor and to an extent some business owners who needed to – look, I get it. You need to pay your rent. You need to figure out a way to sustain your business. But we did it too fast. We certainly did it too fast here. You're right. You know, I think you're right. We point to Arizona and Texas as sort of the model of sort of how not to do it. But at the same time, we had New York to look at. We had New York to sort of – we saw what happened there. And we didn't really learn anything in Texas, I don't think, because it was like, you're not going to tell us what to do, because our attitude is always, you're not going to tell us what to do. But on this one, come on.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've been saying on the show for weeks, I've been saying on the show for weeks that some of this stuff literally has to be socialized. And unfortunately and tragically, I mean, this is the thing, like I hosted for Kai today, the afternoon show, and the whole show, I felt like I was talking around the real thing, which is the 130,000 dead human beings just in America. Right. 500,000 people are dead worldwide from this virus. And so like, it's just, it is excruciating. It is actually agonizing that the only way that people can learn this lesson is through more death. It's like, I won't believe it unless it happens to me. And even then, I'm not totally sure. Mm-hmm. And that we have to socialize this so slowly and so painfully. It's hard not to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Enraged.
Well, and you're exactly right, too. We're sort of talking around the sadness. Right. I think about that all the time. It's like when I'm putting together stories, you start thinking about, oh, man, like I'm just kind of beating around the idea of tons of people sick and dying. Like, this is awful. And you're right. There's no way to put it. Right.
Yeah. Now seems like a good time to make the turn. Should we? Let's do it. Let's make the turn. Ah, there you go. Bless. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to do it. I know it's a really awkward turn to make to be like, yeah, you're totally right. That's a lot of, okay, we're going to talk about sports now, but you know what? Sure. We have Andy and we don't get him on very often. And when he comes on, by God, we're talking about,
I'm going to pigeonhole some sports into there for sure. Okay. Look, Cam Newton got signed by the Patriots, which is great. And we were sort of waiting on this happening, right? It was going to be...
I'm so delighted right now. Basically, I'm pretending it's the past. I want you to know. That's what I'm happening right now.
So we were all sort of waiting, especially those of us who play fantasy sports, fantasy football. We were all sort of waiting to see where Cam Newton was going to go. And there were murmurs. Bill Simmons actually talked about it 2 years ago that the Patriots might be courting Cam Newton. So we get signed, which is great, and there's some potential there. And you know, they're sort of thinking about how they're going to make up for the loss of Tom Brady, who is now Tampa Bay and the Buccaneers. And so they signed Cam Newton, which is great. And then what also came out over the weekend was that they were fined $1.1 million and they lost a third round draft pick for filming another team on the sidelines during a game last year. This has happened to the Patriots before, right? We have Spygate, yeah. We have Deflategate. Yeah. I mean, the Patriots and breaking rules are now kind of synonymous. What gets mm-hmm. me and why this is a make me smile is that the team they were filming was the Bengals. They were filming the last place team in the league to figure out, I guess, what bad players were going to do. Maybe Joe Mixon was going to, you know, break a run. I don't know. But they got caught filming the Bengals. Like,
I mean,
come
it's
on,
one thing.
Bill.
If you have right. to cheat when you have Tom Brady, you got to, like, legit big time cheat when you have a normal, like, league MVP.
Make the
Cam
cheat
Newton.
Worth
like, come on.
Exactly.
So hilarious. What I love, too, is that Patriots fans are like second only to Tesla fans in their sure. complete and passionate ongoing defense right. of the right. Patriots. And so there's like this right. super long like comment that's like, they were not cheating. They were doing a documentary sure. on their advanced scouting crew and they had permission. Mouth breathers right. literally right. calls me about, this isn't about cheating. This is about the NFL right. turning into the WWE. Oh my God, right. it is absolutely.
When the vitriol that the fans come back at the league with, right? How could you take a third round draft pick from us? It was scouting.
How dare you?
Right?
You can't tell me, by the way, listeners, that you're not smiling right now because listening to Andy talk about sports, like the sheer passion, like he does other things begrudgingly sure. with his right. time, but right. this is your gift, man.
That's where it's at. Awesome.
And actually, my sports-related Make Me Smile comes to us via Kai Rizdahl, who's actually kind of ghost nice. Hosting today. And he sent me a note to say that Brooklyn Nets player Spencer Dinwiddie mm-hmm. has tweeted about, apparently, if players are allowed to put messages on their jerseys in Orlando.
Yeah,
which,
the bubble.
I don't know. The bubble. That yeah, what the yeah. thing that yeah. he... Yeah, explain to me the back of the jersey in Orlando thing. I got to look this up real quick. I should have
well,
ducked
see,
this
I don't,
before.
No. What I was sort of talking about is what's I have no idea how the NBA. It's funny because I was texting with my cousins about the NBA starting up. It feels like
oh, I see. Like
this
when
is
it
so
starts
this
up,
is
yeah,
so sad to say, but it feels like the NBA is going to be the Texas of bars. Like I hope that I'm wrong, right? And I hope that everything is exactly right and that it works. But it feels like it's going to be really difficult to keep things maintained.
It's a disaster. My brother has been predicting. My brother, like, back in March was like, I predict the NBA season's going to be 2 weeks long and then close again. And now he's like,
play a few games.
And I was like, you're totally right. And now he's like, I retract my prediction and I predict they're not coming back. Give me a break. So anyway, though, apparently the NBA sure. has been in discussions with NBA players as of this past weekend about okay. allowing them to put some sort of a message pertaining to social causes on the back of their jerseys instead of just their names when the NBA season restarts. I'm reading from BarstoolSports.com. Mm-hmm. And so people were like, Brooklyn Nets guard Spencer Dinwiddie, what are you going to use your precious jersey space on?
Sure.
And so he said that instead of his name, he would like to replace his name with the word trillion because he's worried about the national debt.
Oh, that's so
Boom!
Awesome.
I know. In like least expected choices ever. He's like, I don't like that trillion situation. That is not good. And then he tweeted all about how we have to like rethink group economics and how we approach finances and work on acquiring hard assets and recycle dollars.
You know, Spencer Dinwiddie has a delightful sort of past with he was Trillion. The dude who was trying to sell shares of his self stock to the highest bidder. Basically, he was trying
really?
To he was trying. Yes,
we
didn't he was
have
trying
this guy
to
on the show.
Leverage. Oh my God, that would be awesome. He was trying to leverage future contracts. And yeah, no, it's an awesome.
He was selling
awesome
futures
story.
In himself.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, you know right? what? We're gonna boot Kai for a Tuesday show. And you and me are gonna talk about Spencer, who's just really not happy about the national debt situation. And would you look at that exactly 15 minutes later, because Andy is a freaking pro. We have wrapped up our daily show. Incredible.
Come on. That's awesome.
I feel actually shockingly better. We will be back with Kai tomorrow for our deep dive this week. We're going to actually check in with Scott Galloway, Professor Scott Galloway, about how the pandemic has permanently shaped the future of higher education. And then Wednesday, we'll be taking your questions. So send them in, makemesmart@marketplace.org. Thanks, Andy.
And we'll see you tomorrow. Wonderful to be here. Always. This little excuse to talk about sports for a hot minute? Are you kidding me?
So great.
So fun. It's the podcast that you and I, it's waiting to happen.
It's going to happen. I mean, why not?
We talk about that.
Stop us? Me Smart is produced by Sam Anderson. He's not going to stop us. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Not going to stop us. He was stoked about this sports talk. Our senior producer is Jody Becker. Ben Hethcote is our video producer, Uncle Ben, as I like to call him. Ethan Peretz is our video intern. And thanks to writer-producer Erica Phillips.
Today's program was engineered by Drew Jostad. Our theme music was composed by Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand is Satara Nieves. And our senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark.
Once upon a time, I thought 15 minutes was kind of short for a show, but it turns out it's like perfect.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.